a song, never gonna do the same for you.
What's up, guys? It's Donna here.
And Holly.
And you're listening to Teaser Talk.
On switch, turn us on, never gonna do the same. You hit the on switch, turn us on, never gonna do the same for you. With these power lights.
Happy Teaser Talk Tuesday, everyone. It's Holly and Donna here for another kick-ass episode of Teaser Talk.
And we're super excited today to have Jeffa Howard from The Used, one of our all-time favorite bands. So welcome. Yes, we're so glad to have you.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it, guys. It's fun to be here.
Definitely looking forward to talking with all the cool things you guys are working on and quarantine and all that good stuff.
Yeah, quarantine. Help.
So we'll start just talking about Heartwork last year. I think you really like blew fans away with that. Mm-hmm. But speaking of this whole quarantine thing, like how difficult was it dropping that album during a pandemic?
You know, it was interesting because, I mean, it was already set. We had a set date that was going to be released, right? And we were working up for that release date for months and months and months, right? Because this record now is almost 2 years old for us, you know, because it was... Like, I can't remember. I think Blow Me and Paradise Lost are 2 years old, you know? So we've been working on this record, you know, back in the day, and we had so much preparation going into releasing at this certain time. And then, you know, pandemic later, all of a sudden we're like, well, fuck, we can't tour on it, you know? So we're just waiting, and everybody, you know, obviously news didn't know what was going on. Everybody was kind of in a frenzy. Some people kind of got the idea of what's going on, but we were hopeful, you know, which is really stupid to think back, but we're like, well, maybe, you know, maybe it'll be all right. Maybe we could play some of these tours, you know, and then tours worldwide just keep getting pushed back, you know, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, year later, you know? And so I'm kind of skipping around, but I think you're seeing where I'm going. Having this record and working on it and being so prepared and so excited about it and having so much like momentum going for this one release date, it's kind of like, you know what? We're just going to release it anyway. You know, like why hold off? Why wait for another year, you know, to have a record, you know, like let's give it to our fans that really want to hear it, that have been excited to hear this. Let's let them have something, you know, because we don't know how long the pandemic shit's going to go on for. So yeah. And it worked out for us.
Yeah, it was really cool though, too, because you guys incorporated like on Lighthouse, the music video kind of making it relatable, because I feel like during pandemic, people were kind of like trying to act like it wasn't happening, or like you saw like a lot of TV stuff that was like, you know, now you see masks and stuff being worn because it's normal. But
totally.
And I feel like you guys kind of was pulling things out of relevant. And it was pretty awesome music video that you guys pulled together for Lighthouse.
Awesome. Yeah, it was. That's interesting that you point that out, because it was really tough for us, you know. For one, none of us live anywhere close to each other. You know, we're so spread out that we couldn't even drive, you know, because Bert lives in Australia. I live in Hawaii. Joey lives in California, and then Dan lives in Utah. So we're so spread out that there's no way that we could have met up during the middle of this, you know. And that was kind of the best thing we could do is, hey, why don't we get our fans that are actually working on the front line and seeing what's really going on, you know, instead of listening to the one side of the news that's telling us, oh, no, it's fine. Everything's going to be all right. You guys don't have to worry about it. And then the other side of the news being like, you guys, we're fucked right now, you know.
Right.
So let's see what's going on by going into, you know, into the real zone of it. And it seemed to work out really well.
It did. That's awesome. Well, I love all the collaboration you guys did on that album. I mean, you had the guys from Blink-182, like Mark and Travis Barker, and then also Jason Butler. So that's just a few to mention the collaborations you guys had on the album. Who's someone that you guys haven't collaborated with that you're either looking forward to or it's like on your bucket list to work with?
It's tough. You know, there's so many good artists out there. There's so many good musicians. I mean, we've wanted to work with Jason for a while too, you know, because we've known him from Let Live and whatnot, and Fever's incredible, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've toured with him forever, and he's such a positive, and like he's an awesome influence, that dude. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever met him or talked to him. He is like an inspirational guy. Like, he really should get a chance to. But he was one of those guys that was like, yes, finally, you know what I mean? Like, it worked out that we could get him on the record, and it was kind of like a last second thing. And he came in, he nailed that part of the song. He did it in like an hour, I think. It was so awesome to watch. Wow. He was screaming for like maybe 2 hours straight without stopping, just screaming and screaming and screaming, going through that whole part. And then he did like singing backups afterward. We were like, what? You know, because usually impressive. It's the opposite. Yeah, usually it's the opposite. You want to get your singing out of the way so you can do the screaming and not screw it up. But
yeah,
he did it the backwards way. And it was really cool to watch that. And yeah, it was cool. I'm kind of just picking people that we did work with on this record, but being able to put bass to something that Travis did was really fun, you know. That was actually one of my favorite. Obvious Blasé was one of my favorite bass tones on the whole record. And it was fun for me because it kind of had a different, like a almost like an upbeat funk kind of groove to it, you know. So it was really fun for me to be able to, because that's kind of like my backbone of where I grew up. Like that's in my, you know, I'm not like a big funk player, you know, but I would like to be. That's my backbone, you know. So being able to play something like that for a used record was so much fun for me, you know. And obviously having Mark come down and kind of just shoot the shit and do, you know, we've known these dudes. I wouldn't say like friends, you know, or anything, but we've known these dudes for like, God, man, one of the first tours we went on back in the day. I mean, we toured with Blink back in the day. We toured with Boxcar Racer. We toured with Plus 44. We toured with like a lot of their side project bands, you know? So we've kind of known them and we've been acquaintances for like years now. So to be able to sit down and do something together was, you know, overdue, you know, it was really cool. And also, I'm forgetting his name right now, Caleb from Beartooth, having him come out and scream mm-hmm. on the lottery. You know, that interesting. I'm kind of ranting and I hope it's all right, you guys. But
absolutely.
Okay. So the lottery originally, I don't mean anything against Caleb, because Caleb was perfect. He's the best person that we could have got to sing on that. But originally we didn't have him plan to sing on it. We were trying to get a guy from a different band and we weren't really thinking about Caleb. And I don't mean that mean. It wasn't in our radar at the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to get this other friend we had to come sing on it. And there was a tour booked and he couldn't do it. He was in Europe for like 2 months and he couldn't do it. You know, there's always something that was kind of unfortunate. And then our guitar player, Joey, was like, what about Caleb? Like, I know Caleb. He's a nice dude. He's a really good singer. And our producer, John, said the same thing. He's like, oh yeah, I've worked with Caleb before. He's great. Let's try him. Let's do it. Dude recorded that song, the vocals himself on tour right before they played a show. Like he just recorded the whole part and sent it to us. It was the best thing we could have done, having him sing on that song.
That's crazy. There's a lot of like, I feel like, you know, with people, unorthodox ways that you're describing. So I love hearing that.
It was really fun how it all came together. It doesn't always work out. That's kind of what I was kind of meaning. It doesn't always work out that easy. You know, there's always a lot of friends that we want to have come on the records or want to do things with. And, you know, it's just timing doesn't work out, or, you know, maybe there's something else they're doing, or, you know what I mean? Like maybe we're in a different state or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the last record, The Canyon, we had some of the most random people recording on it. Like, one of the dudes that used to be in the Temptations was doing backups, like some stuff like that, that you wouldn't even believe. And we didn't even know about it until like somebody pointed it out, because he just came with the choir. You know what I mean? Cause we had a choir singing parts. It's like, oh yeah, that dude used to be in the Temptations. We're like, what?
That is so cool.
Like, what? Really cool. Like there's a bunch of people like that, you know? I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but there's so many random things on that last record that worked out in the way that we didn't quite understand, you know, it was all, like magic happened, but this one was the best.
Sure. So fans have been enjoying the used for what, like 20 years now? You guys have been around. And you are one of the OG members, of course. So I feel like it's all too common sometimes for bandmates to kind of butt heads or let ego kind of destroy a good thing the band has going on. So what would advice be that you could give to bands in terms of just letting all that go and just making it about the music?
Yeah, that's tough. You're totally correct. We started this band. There's some weird things on the internet that shows different times, but we started this band in, I think it was April of 2000. It was April and May of 2000. So it's been 21 years now.
So you guys can drink. You guys are legal age to drink alcohol.
Our band can actually drink alcohol by itself. Yeah. but we had a t-shirt. That got messed up because we had a t-shirt that said 2001 and it was a misprint. but we sold it anyway, you know, and that kind of screwed things up. And so people started thinking it was 2001. It's just a year. It doesn't really matter, but it really was in 2000. But point being, we went through not a lot of members, but we've had a couple different members. And me and Bert have been in it from the beginning, obviously. And we've been up and down. We've had our fights. We've had our arguments. We've had our disagreements. But we're brothers, ultimately. Like, I love that dude more than anything, you know. And Dan, I've been in a band with Dan he's the drummer, right? For 16 or 17 years now. He's been in the band longer than the original drummer was, times three probably now. So it's really interesting. And Dan, same thing. He's like a brother to me. You know, it's like you have to go through those fights and those arguments and those disagreements to sort of, you know, it's like I don't have any brothers or sisters. I'm an only child. But this is what I imagine growing up would be like with a family. You know what I mean? Like where you get in disagreements with your like brother or sister and you hate them for like a week or something. But you guys are kind of stuck together. So you learn to get past it quick. You know what I mean? And tell me if I'm wrong, because this is me coming out from an outside opinion, judging it and trying to guess. But, you know, you fight your battles in order to grow stronger together. And sometimes those battles eat up at people, you know, and they can't get past those battles, you know, and that's kind of sad, you know, because if you could just learn to understand where those battles are coming from and those fights are coming from and the problems are coming from, you know,
yeah,
like go into the roots and try to understand where the problem is, you know. You could grow together and grow stronger and bigger, you know?
I love that. I think you're spot on with it too. And I just know, like, we all know of a band that's had, you know, so much potential or was at the peak of their success. And then they unfortunately allowed ego or pride to kind of separate everybody. So that was fantastic advice. And yeah, appreciate you diving into that a little bit. So, you know,
no worries.
In my opinion, if you were to take the self-titled album and play for someone who's never heard you guys at all, and then you're going to turn around and put like Heartwork into and push play, I can confidently say that they would know that it's exact same band. Like, you guys have stay true to your sound from the very beginning. And a lot of bands, you know, we kind of see maybe it's an evolution. I don't know. But like you, from the very beginning to the very end, they sound completely different. How have you guys accomplished staying true to your sound?
That's a really good point. And we've thought about this before. And ultimately, I think it comes down to Bert's voice. Bert has a very distinct voice, you know, and so it's all about personality with like a lead singer, I think, you know, and his personality shines. You can hear it whenever he's singing on a different band's song. You're like, oh, that's Bert. Like, I obviously, you know, I can tell that's him, you know. And we're really lucky because not every singer and not every band has somebody with such a distinct voice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, so from the beginning, 21 years ago, no, but back in the day, when we were first starting out, we were kind of the mutt of a bunch of different bands. And the scene that we grew up in, I wouldn't even call it a scene. I'm not talking shit about it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying it was like we were playing at these venues that got even before the Used. We were in all these other bands that kind of mutted together to make the Used. But we were playing at venues that like a hardcore band would be playing with a ska band, which would be playing with like a pop punk band. And that would be the bill. It'd be those three bands like that have nothing in common. And there's no, you know, genres completely all over the place. They'd be playing together because that was the only bands there, you know, like you didn't have like five hardcore bands that could play together at that time. You know, you had one. So I think from that and from all of us being all over the place, even our music tastes as each person in the band has wild music tastes. We're kind of all over the place, but we kind of dabble a little bit into each, you know, other's kind of music. So that being a part of us growing up, and also I'm ranting. I always rant. I'm sorry, guys. So that's perfect. All right. Okay.
We like it. Keep ranting.
Sometimes I just keep talking. It's like, shut up and get your point. But also, so when we first started playing shows, we kept getting kicked out of venues, like at the Used. Like we'd play one show at, I can't remember the names of the places, it's been too long, but we played one show there and they're like, one kid got his teeth knocked out. And, you know, it's not our fault, you know what I mean? But the venue is like, you guys can't play anymore. You're too much. We can't have you here anymore. You know, and back in that time, Bert was screaming most of the set and there's other crazy shit going on. It was kind of super intense back then because we were just so like ready to play shows and we couldn't play anywhere, you know? And then we played another show and a kid broke his legs because he was doing something stupid and they blamed it on us. You know, like it just kept going on. So we stopped playing shows. We just started because we couldn't. All the venues kicked us out pretty much, you know. And we didn't have a car. So we were just kind of stuck at like borrowing van, you know, and stuff like that. But we started just kind of honing it in and playing, just jamming together and writing together and just kind of trying to see our music tastes kind of merge together, you know. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Kind of reminds me of ours being in West Virginia at the Brick House. We had like this little bitty, it's called the Brick House, this little bitty, a big open area where it would be like hardcore. Then you have like you said, you know, emo or whatever. It was a very eclectic taste playing those shows. So we could definitely relate to that.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk more about kind of advice you could give other bands. You see a lot of bands kind of make it and then they kind of lose their drive, kind of the grit behind why they're doing what they're doing. What do you think has kept you guys going and really kept that drive going?
You know, we really enjoy being around each other as a band. I don't know a lot of bands that feel that way, but when we show up, it's like, what's going on? You know, like everybody's hugging and like, oh God, what's going on? You know, like we're chatting for a while and we love like jamming together. Cause pretty much, I don't know if you guys have come to your show, but if you pay close attention to us on stage playing, half the time we're like laughing or we're like teasing each other or we're like making jokes together about something, you know, like, and when somebody fucks up, we'll all laugh at it, you know? And some people take it so serious that when someone fucks up, it's, oh, it's bad. You screwed up, you know? And we've had those shows where it's like, oh, that was a bad mistake. That was really bad, you know? But the fun part is those bad mistakes, when you learn how to come out of those mistakes and turn it around and still make it a good show. For me, that's where all the practice comes in. That's where all like the talent's not the right word. What am I trying to say here? Like you're rehearsing these shows and you're playing these things over and over again, not to make sure you don't make the mistakes. It's because the mistakes are going to happen no matter what, because we're human, you know, and no matter what we do is filled with mistakes. Some of us more than others, you know, but those mistakes, to come out of those is the practicing part, you know, to try to turn it around and still make it a good show and still have fun. And that's kind of what we thrive in, is almost those mistakes sometimes, you know.
You know, I think we watched you guys in Dallas and I'm pretty sure Bert threw a water bottle at you.
Probably. I probably screwed up. I probably slipped, or he probably just threw it for the hell of it, you know. Like, yeah, there's been so many things that have happened on stage where like we'll be dying laughing on stage, you know. We'll even like pause part of a song because we'll be laughing too hard. It's happened before, you know. Or awesome. Bert will just change words of a song to something that's like an inside joke, you know. So our crew will be laughing. Like it's happened because the way that we tour too, our crew is family. Our crew is treated as equal as we are, and we kind of all hone in together, you know. Like each show, we couldn't play those shows without our crew. You know, it's because it's that they're trying to do the same thing we are, is put on a good show for everyone. And they're putting as much effort as we are into it. So
I love it. Yeah. We went to, we've seen you guys several times, but at the Dallas one, I think it was like an anniversary, like 15 year anniversary, mm-hmm. something okay. like that. And, you know, I will say this, you guys do such a fantastic job. Cause like, we felt like we were like 15 again,
but like, yeah, that's great.
The whole entire crowd was like that. Like it was like being amongst, like, I don't know, being back in 2005, 2004 when we were, you know, young and stupid and having fun. So you guys put an amazing live show on. Speaking of live show, I know you guys, everything's crazy right now. Like you said, things are getting pushed back, but do you guys have anything on the radar plan for any type of live performance anytime soon?
As far as I've heard is September for us, but that's a maybe, you know, like I'm saying again, September is the, you know, September is the hope. And it just matters on, you know, obviously political/ people trying to get shit done. Right. And we'll see, you know. Fingers are crossed though, because
yeah,
I got to get on tour.
So yes. So yeah. Hopefully we can see that soon. I'm really looking forward to you guys being able to tour again soon. Outside of that, is there anything else in 2021 that you guys have planned?
Let's see. We have, well, let me go through a couple things. Let's see. we in 2020, 2021, the end of it and the beginning of this, I did bass on a song for, me and Bert did a Rage Against the Machine cover with two of the guys from Sum 41, which is out already. That was fun because we've known the drummer from Sum 41 for like 20 years, like maybe longer, actually. He went on one of the first tours we ever did. Like, we've known him forever. And so it was cool to connect with them, you know. And I did bass on another song with Dan, our drummer, with his old guitar player from a band that he used to be in. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, you know. Maybe there's going to be a little side project thing. I'm not really sure yet. We're waiting to see if there's a singer involved. I'm not really sure. I know Bert's done a couple things, just like, you know, recording some vocals and putting them out there with like collab, like those whole collab thing. A lot of bands are doing this right now.
Yep.
We have like 10 plus songs that we haven't released from Heartwork that we probably will release this year. Probably, you know, I know we have an acoustic version of, The Lighthouse, what else? I mean, and 10 brand new songs that no one's ever heard before. Hopefully those are going to get released this year. I think so. I think before we start touring, I can imagine us dropping those, you know, just for fun, you know. Let's see what else has been. I've been doing this nerdy Twitch thing just to connect with fans and friends and stuff, and that's been a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys have ever tried going on Twitch before, but it's pretty interesting.
It is. And I was actually, I'm glad this is like kind of leading us into our next question we were going to ask, because Twitch is a very interesting platform. I've had people like, oh yeah, you guys should go in there and do a podcast on there. And then I'm like, I get on there and it's just, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things you just gotta, I guess, put in the time and do. But speaking of your Twitch, last night I got to watch you go live. Which is super cool. It was fantastic. And I loved how engaged you were with everyone. You know, like people were asking questions from like, I don't know, like I want to be vegan, like tips or whatever. And you were just like giving encouraging words or, you know, fun stuff like that. So how long have you been hosting those streams? It was really well done. So I feel like you've had to have some experience or anything about with it.
Honestly, it's only been 4 months now. I want to say 3 months, but it's only been 4 months. It's been a process. Obviously, when I first started out, it started small and I've been kind of figuring it out as I go and gaining more things. You know, I'm trying to make everybody that comes to hang out, I'm making it more of a hangout, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody that comes to hang out, I want them to feel comfortable and safe, and I want them to have fun, you know? Like it's not about anything other than that, really, you know? And sure, sometimes I play games, sometimes we play games, sometimes we just talk and chat about nothing, you know? There's this wheel thing I put on there. I don't know if you saw it, and it's like a mystery wheel that kids, for some reason, they love it so much. And I keep adding stuff to it and changing things from it. I usually have the longer you're on there and the longer you're in the chat, you start gaining points, and that points are like money that you can use to buy certain things that happen. You know, it's like chat dollars or something, you know, whatever you call it. I call it karma.
Like a social currency that's for social media.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So I've been using that for this spin the wheel thing, and it's like mystery. Nobody knows what it is. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you'll get something and it'll ban the person for like 3 minutes that, you know, that put the money in to do it, you know, which is kind of funny too. Or it'll mute them, or it'll, you know, or it makes me do push-ups or something stupid, you know. I usually have a camera that's set up on my dog too, because my dog's usually with me hanging out. But yesterday he wasn't. He had some other important things to do, so. But usually I have a dog cam the whole time.
That's really cool.
That is cool. Yeah, you know.
What's your favorite game to stream?
Honestly, I've been playing this game right now called Yakuza Like a Dragon. And it doesn't make much sense, and it's hilarious. You know, usually we play like horror games, but we're kind of in an in-between period where nothing's out that we're waiting to play. I ask the kids what they want me to play or what they're really into. And we'll usually try to play that or something, you know, but we're in this one called Yakuza Like a Dragon. And it's like, it reminds me of these games I used to love as a childhood, but it's based in Japan. And I've loved Japan since I was a little kid. So it's kind of a mix of all the things I love together. And it, like I was saying, it's hilarious and almost doesn't make sense half the time, which is the best part about it, you know? So it's been funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think last night you had the matcha, like the little tea cam. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
and flip on there. It's very entertaining though. I was like, this is pretty damn cool. So how often do you stream those?
Lately it's been, it's going to change in the future, obviously, because of touring will change it all. And, there's other factors that might change it up, but I do it, 4 times a week, like Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. And time zones are confusing because, you know, obviously everybody lives all over. And when I stream when I stream Mondays and Wednesdays, for me, it's 9 a.m., right? But for California, it's noon, you know, so, or whatever, West Coast time, Pacific Standard Time is noon, you know, so that gets confusing if you live in like Europe or something, you know. And when I do it Friday and Saturday, it's usually people from I do that one at, let's see, my time, 6 p.m. So that's 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, you know, it's confusing, right?
I'm glad you keep up with that because I'm not.
Yeah. So I can tell the difference in fans and people because the early ones, it's usually people from the U.S. usually, you know, but some kind of dabble around. Brazil too, actually. But when I do the nighttime ones, it's people from the Philippines, people from Europe, people from Indonesia, like, you know what I mean? Like Australia always. Australia's nighttime because the day ones are just, it's flip times, you know, so. It's fun. So I get to connect. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it's a cool way to connect. I mean, like, I think it's awesome, kind of like allow that space for fans and friends and family, whoever, to kind of connect with you on that kind of level. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You guys should definitely get into it. Do this on there. It would be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
We should definitely try it. I'm game day. Don, are you?
Yeah, we damn.
We damn. Okay. Yes. So you may or may not know, on Teaser Talk, we like to have some fun from time to time and play games to allow our guests to have an official title on our show.
Nice.
So this is a title that can be challenged for future people, and then you can challenge it back. We've had quite a few shifts. I know Donna's mom has even been involved on some of these, so it's a fun time. But speaking of games, would you be up to playing a little bit of a fun show game today?
Sure.
All right. Well, today's game is very simple. We wanted to take it easy on you. So
that's good.
So get ready to play video game character or a character straight out of poetry by Edgar Allan Poe.
Ooh, good. Mm.
So it's a this or that. So you don't have to know any, like, you know, names, anything. So
that's good because I'm terrible at names of anything.
Okay, first off, we have Old Swede.
Old Swede?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like, that's got to be a Poe. Old Swede.
That is correct. Ding, ding.
Is it? Woo.
Yes. It was, along with the narrator, the only survivor of the tale's first hurricane of Old Swede. So.
Wow, awesome. Okay, good guess, Jeff. Woo.
Woo. And I'm going to keep score. We're going to see how you do. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, scary. It's funny because I'll know this because of the video game characters, but if Bert was doing this, Bert would know it because of the Poe characters. You know?
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. So as a team, you guys would do great.
Oh, we'd kill it as a team.
So then it sounds like Bert's going to have to be your challenger. That's
probably. Yeah. Probably.
So next we have Lygia.
Lygia?
Lygia.
How do you spell that?
L-I-G-E-I-A. Don't Google it.
No, I'm not. I'm just writing it down. I promise you, I'm not. I'm not gonna cheat, I promise. L-I-G-I-A.
Yeah.
This one's a guess then. I'm gonna guess video game character just because you started with Poe. Nope,
no. See, we knew we'd throw you off with that. Yes, it is Poe. Yeah. So Lygia.
Damn it, I should have went with Poe. I was going to, and I was like, it can't be. They're not gonna go two Poes in a row.
No, oh, yeah, we've got it. Yeah. So she is actually the darkly beautiful first wife of the narrator from the poem Poe Lygia. And she returns from the grave to haunt the narrator. I know. I mean, that sounds like it would make a good video game.
Right. Lygia. What a cool name too. Scary name.
Right.
What's your name, Lygia? Ooh.
No thanks.
Nope.
And there's a good chance that these might all be Poe. And then
that's like, right. Just that would make it easy.
Okay, next up is Spanky.
Okay, that's got to be a video game one there. Spanky?
Yeah, we definitely, I feel like it is a video game. We don't want to like make it super duper hard. We want to at least make sure you had one. So that was,
I get it there. That was it.
Pass. But
Spanky. Actually, no, that is a Poe one. That's from, that's the crow's name in,
yeah, little do people know the crow's name was Spanky.
Yeah, there you go.
Spanky is a monkey with balls. He's throwing these balls in a way of attacking his enemies. And at the end of each level, there is a boss that I guess you have to beat with balls. So that's who Spanky is.
Spanky. Of course. Nice. Of course. Okay.
Right. So next we have Roderick Usher.
Roderick Usher? Roderick.
Roderick.
That could either be, so it could be Poe because Roderick's a weird name. But it also sounds like it would be some kind of role-playing game name just because it's the full name, you know, Roderick Usher.
It's a very former, yeah. Former.
Yeah. Damn. What do you say? Roderick. Let's go with video game on that one too. It was Poe, huh?
Fuck. It's Poe.
See, that was my first guess again, and I change it every time because I'm like, no.
So Roderick Poe is from The Fall of the House of Usher, and he is the owner owner of the mansion and last male in the Usher line. So he's a pretty important
guy. Come on,
in
Jeff.
Whose world?
Should have known that. I don't read Poe.
Time to redeem yourself.
Yeah,
okay, there's still time. Okay,
we can redeem yourself for sure. The next is Tiny Tina.
Oh, that's definitely Poe. Just kidding, video game. Come on.
Oh, you had me so stressed out.
You're right. It is video game. She is a bomb expert with a bit of tragic trauma past. It's no wonder why that when you meet her in the video game, one of the first things she does is to torture and kill the man who kidnapped her and her deceased family. So
nice.
Kind of a badass.
Tiny Tina, of course.
So next we have George Woodman.
George Woodman.
Yes.
Okay, that's got to be Poe then. That's more of a normal name. No, am I fucking up every single one?
Jeff.
Really?
So, yes, this is a video game, a character from Deadly Premonition. Have you ever played it?
Oh, I haven't played it, but I know that game.
Yes.
God,
so
man,
he actually transforms into he transforms into a gigantic demon.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the Deadly Premonition. I should have, though. Damn, George Woodman. I'm looking a picture of him up. I'm going to try to look a picture of him up. What a cool, oh man, Deadly Premonition. There it comes up right there. God, should have known that. I'm good at losing, so this is perfect.
That's fine. That's good. As long as you have fun in the process of losing, it's all good.
Oh, man. Look at that. Okay. Okay. Feeling good. Feeling good. Coming back from it.
Yeah.
Come on. We got this next one. William Wilson.
William Wilson.
Yeah.
Does he go by Bill usually? Bill Wilson? Okay. Well, fuck, man. William Wilson, video game.
Oh my gosh, no.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a Poe. So he's the
How is Bill Wilson?
So it's the poem William Wilson. So he's the narrator.
Oh, okay.
Murders his double, also named William Wilson. So first William Wilson suffers from a split personality and it takes a figment of his imagination and gives it a little bit of a physical shape. So
Bert was going to be so mad at me if I tell him I mess all these up.
We should have given you a phone a friend so you could call Bert. And
I call him every time.
Oh, man.
Help.
Help. All right. So next we have Lady Rowena of Tremaine.
Lady Mowena?
Rowena.
Of Tremaine.
Tremaine.
Please tell me this is Poe.
This is Poe.
Okay.
This is Poe. This is from The Pit and the Pendulum.
She's
the leader of the French army.
Okay. What's been screwing me up is I've been playing this, last night I played the new Resident Evil game and they've got, the names are all similar to this, you know, like I can't even pronounce her name. Lady Demaskew, I can't even pronounce it, but it's like like my brain is set into like, oh my God, okay, all these names, they're going to be video game names. They have to be, you know? And then William Wilson, I thought was from this other game.
That seems like such a Red common Dead. Name. Like, yeah.
I thought it was like a Western name for this, but nope.
Like with a mustache, Bill with a mustache.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, so I got 1 point. Yes, no, 2 points. I just got that one.
No, you've got four.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Point rich.
Okay, let's redeem ourselves. Next up is General LaSalle.
General Saul?
Yeah, LaSalle.
LaSalle, LASAL, General LaSalle. Fuck, man. So what's tough here is that General, you know, I relate everything to a game here. You know, I want it to be a game. I don't think it is, though. General, you know? Because I picture, like, you know, oh, fuck, man.
Go with your General gut. What are you feeling?
LaSalle. I'm feeling Poe, but I think it's video game.
Is that your final answer, Poe?
What's your final answer?
Let's do Poe.
Ding, ding, ding. That is
okay.
Yes. Yes.
So we actually, this one was actually the French leader of the Pit and the Pendulum. I think the other one was the second wife of Le Chiu.
Okay. At least he got them both right.
Yeah. The reason I was thinking, you know, it's like General, I'm thinking, oh man. I'm trying to picture Poe era, and I'm trying to picture who would be coming over to his house or what he would be writing about, you know.
You're really putting some big thought into this. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I don't want to lose. No, I don't mind losing. I'm good at losing. So.
So you're not doing too bad. I think there's 11 and you've got 5 points right now.
That's okay. Not too bad.
Yeah.
So you want more to win, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So next we have Don Palo.
Don Palo?
Yes.
That's got to be a video game.
Yes.
Don Palo. Yeah. Okay. That sounds really familiar.
He is a villain from the game Professor Layton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. Okay.
Professor Layton and the Curious Village. And yes, he disguises himself as Inspecto.
Inspecto. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and end this on a winning note. Last one is Prince Prospero.
Prince Prospero?
Yes.
I want to say video game, but only because I'm thinking Prince of Persia, but Prince Prospero. Let's see, Prospero. Prospero. Prince Prospero. God, let's do video game because I said it first, but no, hold up. Let's go against my gut and let's say Poe then.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
It is Poe.
Okay.
It is.
So you got 7 out of 11.
Winner.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Not too bad.
That is. You are the official new title holder of
Am I?
Talk, either Poe or video game character. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. I get a trophy. I get a cup.
Yeah.
A cup of matcha.
Crown, whatever. Yeah. Get nice. A braid. We're gonna
perfect.
You. There's gonna be a statue, I'm sure, somewhere.
I'm sure somewhere. Yeah. Small, but it'd still be a statue, you know, like about that big, maybe.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Jaffa, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down, talk with us, be a little goofy with us and play our game. And we appreciate you just being real, and we look forward to actually seeing you guys hopefully in September at a live show. And for everyone listening in, what's going to be the best way for them to keep up with you on your streaming and also tour news and all that good stuff that you guys are working on?
There's so many outlets right now, which is awesome. You know, you could follow us, like if you're looking for The Used, you can go to our Instagram, you can go to our Twitter or Facebook, any of those. You know, the Instagram I know is updated, I think, daily, so that one's pretty solid to go on to. As just for me, if you guys want to watch me stream, my name's Grass Destroyer on Twitch, you know, which is pretty easy to remember. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, they're both the same name. It's Virtual Jeffa, and I usually post about when I'm going to stream. You know, I give updates daily on the streams on Twitter. And yeah, there's a Discord I have out. I can't remember. I think it's called Grass Fam. But if you want to find that, just come to the Twitter, and it's easy to find from there. So.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. And thank you to all our listeners. Make sure you catch up with Jeff and the U's. Sounds like they have some awesome things. Keep your fingers crossed for those live shows we're all looking forward to. Yes. And as always, guys, until next time, keep rocking.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Teaser Talk.
We look forward to seeing you next Teaser Talk Tuesday. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss it.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Teaser Talk. This way, we can keep up with you guys until the next episode.